This passage sounds familiar. It may be because a couple of weeks ago we called attention in our Bible study of Ezekiel to the false shepherds of Israel who were leading the people astray. We also noted from the New Testament at that time that this is related intricately with the work of shepherds in the New Testament. The bad qualities can be balanced against the good qualities. The bad things spoken by Ezekiel tend to point up the good things that the New Testament says concerning what the work of shepherds or elders is. About 150 years, however, before Ezekiel wrote that passage, this one by Isaiah was recorded. This is an important passage, and although I don't usually do this, there is a reason for it. I'm going to let the person who wrote on this passage from the book of Isaiah as a lectureship book, I'm going to communicate what he wrote concerning this passage, and you'll understand why later. So let's begin with his comments. These come, most of the time I'm going to be quoting from a chapter written on these four verses. In verse 9, the one that says, "All you beasts of the field come to devour all you beasts in the forest." Quote, "The beasts of the field and the beasts of the forest represent the pagan nations that surrounded Judah. In all probability, these beasts are a direct reference to the Babylonian kingdom and its army, who would, in just a few years after this prophecy, devour and destroy Judah." End of quote. Well, now let's go to verse 10. "His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber." Of course, you get the idea that they're lazy from reading that. Well, let's see what was in the book concerning this passage from the comments on verse 10, and sometimes I'm skipping over some side points that are not really relevant that we want to include, but mostly I'm giving what was presented. Quote, "The watchmen are those who were supposed to be serving as the spiritual leaders over God's people." End of quote. And then the author of this chapter identifies these men as, quote, "those who are appointed to guard the interest of the people and defend the cause of truth," end of quote. Now, frequently, when people are writing chapters and lectureship books, they quote from other people who have also written on these subjects. And so here, the author quotes from Homer Haley, who has an entire volume on Isaiah. So to resume the quote, quote, "Haley explains that the watchmen were guards stationed on a wall to warn of approaching danger." End of the quote from Haley. Oftentimes, the prophets were referred to as watchmen. Isaiah mentions two deadly deficiencies in the watchmen of Judah. First, they were ignorant. They were unable to see the danger because they lacked the knowledge necessary to discern right from wrong. Now, let me interrupt the quote here at this point. Doesn't that sound hard to believe? How can people not be able to discern right from wrong? How can they not know that? And yet we know that it happens. Even from the book of Jonah, there were people who could not discern their right hand from their left, as is mentioned toward the very close of the book. But if people do not have moral standards, objective standards that come from God, they're not going to be able to discern right from wrong. Well, resuming the quote, if danger were to come upon their people, these watchmen would be unable to discern its seriousness. A man of such inability serving as a spiritual watchman made as much sense as a blind man serving as a physical watchman. Both would put the souls entrusted to their care in grave danger. Next, they were unable to speak. They were mute watchdogs. So if they were ever to see danger coming, these watchmen could not or would not sound the warning. End of quote. Jesus said something about the blind leading the blind, didn't he? If you're blind, you don't want somebody to guide you who is also blind. You want somebody who can see. And what is the purpose of having a watchdog if he doesn't bark? But that's how these men are characterized in Isaiah. Well, resuming the quote, sadly, these two deficiencies can be seen in many elderships and pulpits across our own brotherhood. Let me interrupt just to say, remember this part especially. I'll repeat it. Sadly, these two deficiencies can be seen in many elderships and pulpits across our own brotherhood. Paul encouraged Titus to appoint men to the position of elders, that is, watchmen of the local church, who know and hold fast to the Word of God, because they would need that knowledge to protect the flock from corruption in teaching, Titus 1:9. Paul also charged Timothy to take heed to the doctrine he preached, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16, and be watchful of those who would teach some perversion of the true doctrine, 1 Timothy 1:3. Still quoting. Paul's words have echoed through time and are as applicable today as they were when written. Elders and preachers alike have the awesome and sobering responsibility to be on guard and alert that they might warn the flock of possible danger. They need knowledge and wisdom to discern those who may be dressed as sheep, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Matthew 7 and verse 15. Still quoting. When that danger is present today, they should sound the alarm, or, according to the illustration of our text, bark so loud that the flock will be sufficiently warned. End of quote. Now, all of these comments, we're in total agreement with the brother who wrote these things. But let's finish up the text. Let's go to verse 11. Let's read it. Yes, they are greedy dogs, which never have enough. And they are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own gain from his own territory. Well, to resume from the comments in the chapter, quote, dogs of ancient Palestine were normally wild, underfed, and aggressive. Typically, Bible writers use the term dog to refer to someone or something that was corrupt and vile. And he cites two passages here, but he doesn't quote the verses. I want to read the verses, so we'll depart from the manuscript to look at the two passages. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 15 is the first one listed. Revelation 22 and verse 15. After describing the heavenly city and all of the beauties and glories that are in it, John records, "But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie." So that's one passage in which dogs is used unfavorably. The other one is from Philippians chapter 3 and verse 2. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 2. Now let's start with verse 1 just to get a more of a context. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For to me to write these same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation," referring to the Judaizing teachers. Is Paul warning of four-legged dogs? No, he's using them in a metaphoric sense to describe those that are, as we already said, aggressive and vile. But they are representing two-legged dogs, false teachers, in other words, that were especially teaching that you had to obey the law of Moses, even though that had been nailed to the cross. So those are the two passages in which dogs are used to stand for what is corrupt and vile and aggressive. Returning to the text then, there were also references to dogs being controlled and trained enough to serve as protectors. Job 30 and verse 1. Their responsibility to the flock would have been similar to that of a watchman to warn and protect. Judah's watchdogs were asleep. Ending the quote. So dogs are used in two senses. They can be used in an evil sense, as attacking and vicious, but they also could be used in the sense of having been trained to be a watchdog, something that would be valuable to its owner. Continuing the comments on verse 11 then, the last three phrases of this verse highlight the selfish nature of their actions, that is, the false shepherds, the mute watchdogs. A call to lead is not a call to self-service and should not be treated as a means to seek one's own agenda. Leadership is about serving and saving those that you are called to lead. Some seek the position of an elder for the power that is attached to it, rather than for the service they can give. In turn, their decisions are often made in keeping with their own selfish interests, rather than what will lead the flock closer to our chief shepherd. Paul warned against this, and he quotes from Acts 20 and 29, so that closed out the section on verse 11. Let's go ahead and read the passage that was cited here from Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse 28. "Therefore take heed to yourselves," and he's talking to elders or bishops or shepherds in this passage from Ephesus, "and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Now that's bad enough, but notice verse 30. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. From where? From among yourselves, from among those who are elders, this would happen. Thus linking them in some measure to the men that Isaiah is writing about and also the men that Ezekiel wrote about. Therefore, verse 31, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. All right, now we come to the last of the four verses from Isaiah 56. And we resume the commentary from the chapter. Rather than speaking to the people, these watchmen turned their conversation inward. They call to other watchmen to join them in drinking intoxicating beverages. Under the influence of alcohol, they could forget any obligation they had to the nation and be numb to any sense of responsibility. They looked with great anticipation of tomorrow. In their minds, it would be as worry-free and self-indulging as yesterday. Perhaps they spent their days dreaming as they slept, verse 10, about how they could continue to deepen their debauchery. End of the comments from that verse and from the chapter. However, these are very excellent comments. Imagine, you know, you don't want a watchman who is blind, you don't want a watchman who can't speak, and you don't want a watchman who's sitting around drinking alcohol. And yet, that was what they were doing. And not only doing it themselves, but encouraging all the other watchmen. Hey, listen, we're having a party. Why don't you come over and join us? The very idea is preposterous, but it was what was being done. Now, we agree with these comments from pages 224 to 27 of the lectureship book on Isaiah. Many leaders do have their own agenda. Many pursue their own selfish interests. Many are mute watchdogs. Many are blind. Many are ineffectual leaders who fail to protect the flock. Isaiah is, of course, exactly right, and so was the brother who wrote these words. But he also happens to be the director of a get-together each year called Focal Point. Focal Point takes place in Texas, so you may have never heard of it. It's a version of polishing the pulpit. Many brethren have heard of polishing the pulpit, and it takes place every year. 2,000 or 3,000 people attend, and people present sermon ideas there, and so everybody, especially preachers, go home with a wealth of information and some good sermon ideas to present to brethren. Well, many people like that idea so much, they decided to start something similar to it in Texas called Focal Point. And the brother who wrote these fine pages is the director of it. But who have they invited to speak? Wolves. How can you write something that good, that accurate, that right down the line, and then invite people to your program that don't practice the truth? This shows that, number one, Well, we'll get to that in a minute, but it shows, I'm going to give three alternatives in a minute to try to explain this, so let me hold off on that. One of the people that has been invited to speak is Jay Lockhart. If you remember from the bulletin a few weeks ago, this is a man who fellowships liberals. Now, he also writes for the very conservative Spiritual Sword. He also is one of the editors of Think magazine. He also works with Bear Valley, but he fellowships those who are liberal. I can't figure out why conservatives are using this man. He has appeared on the same program as such men as Jerry Rushford. And in case you've forgotten that name, which is likely, he was the director of Pepperdine's lectures for over 30 years and invited every liberal imaginable to speak on the program. Jerry Rushford invited Max Licato, Rubel Shelley, Rick Atchley, and the list could go on and on and on. But Lockhart fellowships him. Why? And I hate to say it, but Rushford was even invited to speak at Faulkner, which generally is considered a conservative school. But why are they inviting somebody like that to speak? Are we worried about Watchmen, or are we not worried about Watchmen? This sends a mixed message. Yes, we're going to stand for the truth. We're not going to go liberal. We're going to do what's right. We're going to be right down the line, but we're going to invite liberal speakers. How do you reconcile that? Well, I'd like to suggest three things. Number one, the man who wrote this article is a hypocrite. That's the worst case scenario. How can you write the fine, accurate comments that he wrote and then violate that by inviting people that fellowship very liberally? Or here's the second one, if you don't like that one. Number two, he is inconsistent. Maybe he really does want to stand for the truth, but he's just not consistent. Well, if that's the case, he can repent and admit his mistake in inviting these people. Third, he is just simply ignorant of the situation. That's a possibility too. But if so, he needs to repent and become informed concerning who these men are. It doesn't do any good to say we've got to warn against wolves and then be so weak that we don't understand who a wolf is, and then invite him to come and speak. So we have a problem here that is widespread among brethren. When we read what somebody writes and it's the truth, that's great. We appreciate that. We want to stand where that brother is standing. But he can't then turn around and violate the very principles he wrote about and invite dumb dogs and blind watchmen. You can't do that. It's not consistent. It's not proper. And brethren need to decide where they want to stand on these things. Are we just going to talk about doing what's right? Or are we going to do what's right? It doesn't do any good to sound out a warning and then violate the very warning that you were sounding out. This is brought to our attention this evening for a good reason, and that is that we must not only insist on hearing the truth and practicing the truth, we must be careful who we invite and make sure that they are not off fellowshipping this person and that person that is clearly a wolf in sheep's clothing. We must be ready to stand firm. It doesn't matter if every other congregation in the area, and I'm not saying that's the case by any means, But it doesn't matter if any other congregation in the area does what this man did. We must stand for the truth and be consistent with that stand for the truth. And so that's the encouragement being offered this evening. If you have not obeyed the gospel, this has not exactly been a sermon that's going to encourage you, except that you will know this, that we ought to stand with our convictions. We shouldn't say one thing and practice something else. We shouldn't be encouraging all the members to stand morally and doctrinally, and then once we leave here, we just do whatever we want. That's not consistent. Are we ignorant? Are we not consistent? Are we hypocrites? We must take the stand that scriptures require and not only say it, but do it as well. If you have been studying the Word and you know what you need to do concerning salvation, we stand ready to help you if you've repented and are ready to confess the name of Christ and be buried with Him in baptism. We want to accommodate you in that regard this evening. If you're already a child of God, maybe you are aware of some of these matters, maybe you are not, but there are things we need to know spiritually, and things that we need to know what is happening in the church. That's why we have watchdogs that function properly. That's why we have shepherds that look out for wolves in sheep's clothing. So if we can help you in any regard this evening, please let us know while we